This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Gracious God, teach us to love one another with that passion which comes from your overflowing heart, so those around us will recognize us as sisters and brothers, bound together by your love, not divided by our fears. Teach us to serve one another with that compassion which comes from our broken heart. For the hungry are our brothers, the immigrants are our sisters, the homeless our families. Teach us to include others with that embracing welcome which comes from your inviting heart, offering forgiveness to those who hurt us, peace to all who are filled with hate, hope to those burdened by despair. Amen. We have had more than a normal share of our loss in the last year in this church, in this community, in this nation, in the world. You might be wondering why Jim is here substituting for David, and we are grateful that David is physically okay himself, but he has suffered a great emotional loss, if you're not aware. The church where David Clyle Morse was baptized, where his family was active in such a strong way, the church where he was hired at the age of 12, to be their organist, the church that he kept that relationship with in Vermont and was called back to do the concert for their 50th anniversary a few years ago, and some of the choir members who are here today were there for that concert, the church burned to the ground this past week. That church represented a very holy place in that community, the very holy people for David. And so there is a gathering that is taking place in Vermont on, I guess, the burnt out ashes of where that church was. And I encourage David to go, to grieve and to be with those people and in that holy place. And so he has gone there. So I ask you to remember David in your prayers as, if you can imagine, the most special place in your life, and it's gone. It's hard. Significant milestone events. How many of those in the past year were either canceled or we couldn't attend because of COVID? Illnesses and life changes in our physical abilities that limit what we can and cannot do. Too many beloved family and friends who we have had to say goodbye to. And some of our loss is that we never had the opportunity to say a proper goodbye. The grief is given an added layer by that. And it could paralyze us in hopelessness. Think of all these saints we've lost from this church just in the last year. Marjorie Galbraith, Michelle Stillman, Ann Stenson, Eric Avita, Yvonne Graham, Ernie de Blasi Sr., Lindell Mason, Norma Van Buskirk, Mayo Voss, Beverly Vivian, Helen DeCruz, Dan D'Angelo, Joan Coulter, Bob Coulter, and as recent as yesterday, Andrew Baker. And I know that you could all add to that with your own personal list. It's important, I think, for us today, especially in the wake of this church's grieving for the loss of someone as special as Andrew, to think about the now what that we talked about last week. When there is the shepherd there and the wolf comes, the now what? Are we with the good shepherd or are we the hired hand who runs away? It's important for us that this is not about a God who intentionally takes things away from us, things and people that we love. But it is a God who mourns with us when these things happen, who wants to do whatever God can do to help us live and love on. And many times, the living and the loving on for us requires that we ourselves will need to be pruned. We ourselves will need to go back to the basics, to go back to our roots, to go back to the vine. Jesus has all these I ams in John's gospel, and this is the last one. And it is the one that is meant to give us comfort, to remind us more than ever that as long as we are staying attached to that vine, we will bear fruit. It's not easy. We can never dismiss these losses as something that as Christians we should just get up and move on. It's hard. I don't think it's by chance that there's that parenthetical phrase in Philip's instruction today when he's supposed to go up that road. And in parentheses it says, this is a wilderness road. A road that is hard to travel. If we want to put that in terms, perhaps, of what we might understand in our culture, it's like Robert Frost, The Road Less Traveled. It's a harder road, but it's the road that can make all the difference. We have heard this so many times in different metaphors that we have used. Not too long ago, we used the story of the giving tree. Remember that? Where that tree just continues to be pruned and cut so that it can express its love to that young child that grows into a man. We all know that story. We know that story that we used of God's chisel, that God continues to chisel off of us metaphorically everything that is not truly what is of God in us. And again, it is not that that chiseling has anything to do with the things of the people we are losing, because God does not work that way. But in the aftermath of that, the God that loves us wants to enable us to concentrate on the things that we truly need, that will enable us to survive and to thrive. So that's where we get into this vine and the branches. Now, I will confess that I do like a glass of wine here and there. Red wine, Italian good red wine from Tuscany, happens to be my favorite. But I can remember shopping around for these different wines that were being grown in the United States, but they just didn't sort of capture the essence of that flavor. Until back in my days at Motorola, Dee and I were able to go to a place where we were taking the clients of Motorola, a place called Vianza Winery. It's out in California, outside of San Francisco. And we discovered that the Sebastiani family, the wine growers, had taken wine cuttings from Tuscany and brought them over to California and found a climate that was basically identical to Tuscany. And because they were able to use those original vines, the wine that they produced was as good, if not better, than the wines of Tuscany. What's the point here? The true vine, Jesus says he is. That as long as we can stay connected to that true vine, we are going to have the most wonderful flavor in our lives. So how do we do that? Staying connected to the vine. Staying connected to God. And one of the most important things for us to be willing to do to stay connected, as it is with any relationship we have, it has to be based on radical honesty. We have to cry out to God at these times and at these losses and say to God, I do not understand this. Why? And we are not going to get that explained to us, but it is important that we have that radical honesty with God, because God hears our cries. God is one who wants to be with us in our grieving and comfort us. God himself was not immune to this, giving up his own son in Jesus. That radical honesty is so important. Yesterday, we used the psalm that Charles and the band sang that was special to Andrew, Psalm 139. Oh God, you've searched me, you know my resting and my rising, you who formed me in my womb. And it's a very sweet sort of a psalm. But we never go to that part of the psalm that has to do with the reality of what's happening in that psalmist's life. This is where that psalm would usually go to in the later verses. Oh God, that you would kill the wicked and the bloodthirsty would depart from me. Those who speak maliciously and lift themselves up against you for evil, do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? There's honesty there. And it is important for us not to just take a deep swallow and just think that it can just all stay inside of us. It is important that we acknowledge our losses. And the God whose perfect love casts out fear promises to be with us in those moments. And then staying connected to God in gratitude. I think gratitude is the most important thing that we can possibly hang on to. Whether it's the loss of a person, gratitude that we were gifted with that person in our lives, whether it's the loss of that church building for David, or the loss of physical abilities that we once had that we no longer have, gratitude to God that I had those experiences and I had those special places. I quote from him so often, but John Claypool lost his beloved daughter to cancer at a very young age. And I want to quote something that he writes that I think in all of his writings, gratitude is the thing that comes out the most. It's probably his life word. Because gratitude was the only thing that enabled him to move forward. This is what he writes. I remember that the appropriate response to a gift, even when it is taken away, is gratitude. Then I am better able to try and thank God that I was ever given this person in the first place, even though it is very, very hard. I'm doing my best to learn this discipline. Everywhere I turn, I'm surrounded by reminders. Things we did together, things that were said, things that we loved. And in the presence of these reminders, I have two alternatives. I can dwell on the fact that this person has been taken away and dissolve into remorse that all of this is gone. Or, focusing on the wonder that this person was ever given to me at all, I can resolve to be grateful that we shared life, even if it was for all too short number of years. There are only two choices here, but believe me, the best way is the way of gratitude. The way of remorse does not alter the stark reality one bit and only makes matters worse. The way of gratitude does not alleviate the pain, but it somehow puts some light around the darkness and creates strength to move on. Staying connected to the vine with gratitude. And the second thing, staying connected to each other. Today is Curcio Sunday. A few of the songs that we are singing, those of you who are Curciistas will recognize them because they're ones that we use a lot in the Curcio retreat movement. Obviously, with COVID, we've had to put a pause on Curcio retreats. But it's still important that we acknowledge Curcio, and we acknowledge all of those ways that we can stay connected. Whether it's the Brotherhood of St. Andrew, the Daughters of the King, the small group Bible studies, the In Touch ministry, the Curcios, the different retreats, the Canuga experiences for our youth. If you participated even virtually in yesterday's service for Andrew, it was the biggest advocacy for every cent that we put into the Canuga experiences for those youth that we could ever imagine. Youth came and flew in from Alabama, from New Orleans, from Nashville, Tennessee. It was like a love fest because these young people found a deep spiritual connection through Canuga, and it was only that that was going to bring them through this tragic loss of their friend Andrew. Staying connected. In this whole experience of losing Andrew, connections made a big difference for us. When Patrick and Lorraine had initially called to tell us what had happened, there was no possible way that any one of us priests were able to just go to Jacksonville. And so we had a connection. We have dear parishioners who left this church and moved to Jacksonville in retirement, Bill and Pat Chatfield. And those of you who go back a ways here at St. Joseph's will remember them. What great saints they are. I made one phone call to Bill Chatfield, explained to him this tragic situation with the Bakers, and Bill and Chat remember Patrick and Lorraine and Jillian and Andrew, and he said, "I'm on it." A half hour later, the priest from the Cathedral of Jacksonville, the Episcopal Cathedral of St. John's, Father G. Alexander, says, "I'm on my way there." He was there that day, and he was there every other day for the rest of those 27 days to be there, to pray with that family, to show that connection that goes so far beyond physical presence, but that connection that is so important to us in the body of Christ. So it's important for us, whether we're still reflecting upon yesterday, whether we are reflecting upon this entire year and the losses that we have encountered, we need to stay connected to God with gratitude and stay connected to each other. If we can do that, even now, before we're completely out of this thing, we're going to have some really good taste in wine around here. Amen.